All right, as always, when Barcelona plays, well, the first man we think of, TV3's Jordi Sunyer from Barcelona joining us now. Jordi, how are you? By the way, please, we're not doing this interview in Catalan.
Don't worry, Glenn. Thank you very much for having me. Fine, fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. And trying to understand a little bit what happened yesterday evening, Catalan time, but I think it's not that difficult. We can try to explain.
All right, 6-4 on aggregate, PSG over Barcelona. Barcelona coming into this Champions League game feeling pretty good after a 3-2 win in Paris. Rafinha in the 12th, Dembele in the 40th, Vitinha 54th, and then Mbappe got two late goals. I'm going to take you right to the 29th minute. Let's get right to Ronald Araujo. Obviously, Xavi got sent off later in this match. Legitimate sending off? Is that the sense in Barcelona?
Yeah, well, there's a debate about this sending off. If the referee gives the foul, he has to show the red card to Araujo because it's a clear chance for Barcola. So if there's a foul, that's a red card. But was there a foul? That's the question. In my opinion, it is a foul because it's not a charge. Araujo is not exactly, he says that to the referee, but he's not exactly charging Barcola. There's a small hit with, I think it's his left arm on Barcola's neck. So it may be a foul. The discussion is the hit strong enough to consider it as a foul and give the red card to Araujo? That's the debate. Someone will think it is, someone will think it's not. But, well, it's 50-50. I wouldn't say it's a mistake by the referee. I wouldn't say it was okay 100%. What was crystal clear was that the penalty that João Cancelo in the second half committed on, I think it was Ousmane Dembele, was clear. There's no discussion about that. But of course, there's a big debate around Araujo. But the other thing is, should Araujo have done that in that situation? Because you leave your team with 10 players, 30th minute, with 60 minutes to go, Champions League quarterfinal. Maybe it's better to trust in Ter Stegen to go out of his goal mouth and try to get the ball. Or in the worst of cases, in the worst of scenarios, okay, Barcola scores 1-1, it doesn't matter. We are still ahead on the global score. It was a mistake by Araujo. That I would say that was a mistake by Araujo. More than discussing if there was a mistake by the referee or not, it was not the best decision by the Uruguayan defender, in my opinion. Yeah.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3, 6-4 on aggregate, PSG advances. Barcelona gets off to a great start, absorbs a lot of pressure in the beginning. Lamine Yamal then abuses Mendes on the end line. Great goal finding Rafinha at the near post. You got to think everything's going well. You and I talked before we got on this interview that we felt that Barcelona, even with 10 men, you know, there was a really sinking feeling. I was like, man, I, and I don't know why. I just don't think they're going to be able to contain PSG. And they really never got any possession. They never moved territorially the game to the other half of the field. They never really seemed to get any relief against PSG.
Well, on the one side, I think there was...
With 10 men, I'm saying.
With 10 men, of course. On the one side, I think there was a feeling of euphoria after the first leg. But we had to think that Luis Enrique admitted he committed some mistakes or there were some choices in the first leg that weren't right for PSG. Because if you have those three, let's call them athletes up front, apart from Mbappe and Dembele, you have Bradley Barcola, a fast player, very physical.
Power.
These three players can cause mayhem in Barcelona's defense because Barcelona's defense are not that fast and not that quick. And he chose, in the first leg, he chose Kangin Lee. He chose Marco Asensio as a false number nine. So it was not, probably was not their best 11. And there was this feeling of euphoria that Barcelona had done things right and had done things very well in the first leg. But things would be totally different at Montjuic. And the feeling was Luis Enrique has learned about his mistakes and this will be a totally different game. And Barcelona's goal was their first shot on goal. And you were feeling, as you did, that Paris Saint-Germain were attack 11 against 11 in the first half hour before Araujo sending off. They were attacking and attacking and attacking, and they were the clear dominators of the game. So the feeling was, yes, but, and in 10 minutes, you have Araujo sent off. You've got, of all people, Ousmane Dembélé scoring the 1-1. And Barcelona are improving, but they are still a fragile team. And Luis Enrique, I think he knew it, because one of the tactical keys of the game, in my opinion, and in the opinion of other journalists here, is if you look at the game, Araujo was given all space needed to start the play. And Araujo, of course, in these last years of, let's say, football doubt or tactical doubt at Barcelona, he has been quite valued here because he's strong in the air, he's strong physically, he's committed to Barcelona. The feeling was Barcelona needs a player like him in terms of attitude and commitment.
Kind of like your Sergio Ramos or great Barcelona defenders of the past.
Yeah, we could say that. But if you want to rebuild, Xavi's always saying, we are a team under construction. He's been saying this for 2 years, 3 years since he arrived. But okay, let's admit that. Barcelona are a team under construction. If they are trying to rebuild the team, they had to rebuild it on the foundations of the great Barcelona that played the Guardiola game or the Cruyff game, that passing game ADN. So you don't probably need a central defender that in 3 years with Barcelona's first team hasn't improved his playing with the ball at his feet, right, and misses mid-range passes, of course, long-range passes, but misses mid-range passes like the one yesterday that led to the sending off situation. Does it mean that Araujo is likely to be sold this summer? Barcelona need money. They have lost lots of money for not qualifying for the semifinals, for not qualifying for the next Club World Cup in 2025. And they need to sell players. And I wouldn't be surprised if Araujo was one of them, because he's a marketable player. Big clubs in Europe, the likes of Bayern Munich, for example, can't be able or are willing to pay in the region of 60, 70, even 80 million euros for a starting 11 player at Barcelona. Well, we'll have to see. But anyway, the feeling was the team is still easy to break. But at the same time, there's a feeling of optimism for the future. And
doesn't that come along the lines of, as you had mentioned, the improvement at La Masia? There's some good young talent now beginning to flow through a little bit more now. And this is where a lot of the optimism comes in the future.
Yeah, because if you watch any Barcelona game, Pau Cubarsí has exploded. And some analysts here even dare to say that Pau Cubarsí has changed the way that Barcelona was playing during this season, because of what I was telling you. Because finally, there you have a central defender which is quite fast, which is strong, a young guy who is has always been a Barcelona fan and is committed to Barcelona. He has Barcelona in his heart and knows how to serve short passes, mid-range passes, knows how to take the ball out of the defensive zone.
Build the game out of the back.
Yes, and that's great stuff for Barcelona. But apart from Pau Cubarsí, you have Lamine Yamal. Yeah. You have even Fermín López, who's not so young, and was playing last year in the 30 of Spanish football on loan to Linares, but he has been has given good performances this season. Even we can talk about Marguiu, because he has scored with the first team, and he's a type of number nine that Barcelona normally doesn't create or doesn't have in La Masia. La Masia is famous for number fours, for defensive midfielders or attacking midfielders, you know, the likes of Busquets, Xavi and Iniesta. But it's not an academy renowned for producing strikers and number nines with that with that feeling for goal that Mark Yu has. And yeah, we can also talk about Mark Yu. So there's a core of young players that can be the core of the Barcelona team for the future. And if you do well in the transfer market, if you are intelligent in the transfer market, best teams in Barcelona history, Glenn, have been teams with a core of players born in Catalonia or in Spain, bred in La Masia, that know what Barcelona is all about. And then three or four key players, the best in their position in Europe. So that's, I think that's the goal for Barcelona. Try to build a team with these characteristics, a core of players that know what Barcelona is all about, and then try to find the best in the business. It's not easy with Barcelona financial situation right now, but I think Barcelona has to aim for that.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, joining us as always, a great friend of the show, has just brought wonderful information to us here on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm. Okay, so you and I had talked before about Rafa Márquez lobbying for the head coaching job, had been cozying up to a lot of the owners. Obviously, he's worked with a lot of the younger players on the reserve team. You told me prior to this that now he is a real serious candidate for taking over for Xavi. Maybe take us into that a little bit. And is that something that you would welcome?
Well, I can tell you he is the candidate right now because of this money that Barcelona has lost for not qualifying for the Champions League semifinals. Barcelona has to set a list of priorities, and the priority is trying to buy new players. The priority is not an expensive manager and bringing a manager the likes of Hansi Flick or even Roberto De Zerbi, the names that have come to mind this recent months, because I think the money has to be invested in new players. The squad needs to be revamped, and Rafa Márquez is the best solution. Of course, I think, first of all, maybe the best solution would be keeping Xavi, but I don't really think that Xavi will change his mind and stay at Barcelona for another season.
Yeah, I was wondering if they made a deep run in the Champions League that maybe he would begin to reconsider things. That's why yesterday's loss in a lot of ways is maybe determining a lot of the future.
There was pressure on him. There was pressure on Xavi by the Barcelona board. And he was saying, no, I'm not changing my mind. I've taken my decision. I won't change. But there was always this... But many fans and analysts had the feeling that if Barcelona could win something or even qualify for the Champions League final, Xavi could change his mind. But the thing is, Rafa Márquez, he was, for some weeks, it seemed he was out of the competition because he was involved in two controversies. When Xavi announced he was leaving after the defeat against Villarreal in La Liga, Rafa Márquez was giving a press conference after a reserve team win at Fuenlabrada near Madrid, and he was asked, and he said, well, of course, I would like to take the first team spot. I would like to coach first team. That would be a great opportunity for me, and I feel ready for that. And this was not very well received by the Barcelona board, because the feeling was, wait a minute. The corpse, as we say here, the corpse is still hot. Xavi has just announced he's leaving. So, yeah, wait a minute. And you're already saying
The board didn't like the timing of him putting his flag in the ground, saying he wants to potentially be the manager.
And apart from that, those same days, he was involved in a controversy because he appeared as the front man of... Mexican betting company. He was filming some advertisements for social media. He appeared on Twitter and on Instagram advertising a Mexican betting company. And of course, when you are coaching 16 and 17 and 18 year old guys in the Barcelona reserve team, I think it's not correct to be the front man for a betting company. It's not right.
Clear conflict of interest.
Of course. And
Yeah.
there are, unfortunately, in Spain, like I imagine in the States, there are many youngsters falling into betting addictions. And that's not right. You're not giving a good example for youngsters. So these two controversies made Rafa Márquez be, for some weeks, out of the competition, really. But I must say, and this will, I think this will interest our listeners, he's been doing a great, great, great job for Barcelona reserve team. There was a bit of a skepticism at the beginning because he was close to Deco, he was close to Joan Laporta, the Barcelona chairman, and people thought, oh, well, they have given him this the responsibility of being the reserve team coach because he's friend of Deco, friend of Laporta, whatever. But his job has been extraordinary. He qualified Barcelona Athletic, Barcelona reserve team, for the playoffs last season. He lost against Real Madrid's reserve team, and it was his biggest mistake because I don't think he was right in the second leg of that playoff. Had a 4-2 advantage and spoiled it all by playing a quite a defensive-minded game in the return leg, and I think he was wrong. But apart from that, this season he's going to qualify Barcelona Athletic again for the playoffs. He maybe his in second position, Deportivo La Coruña, former Champions League semifinalists in 2004, now playing in the third tier, the league leaders, 6 points ahead of Barcelona Athletic. But they will qualify for the playoffs again. And bear in mind that many of the players that Rafa Márquez has at the Barcelona reserve team are being used by Xavi in first team squads. And there you have, for example, Héctor Fort, there you have Marc Yu, there you have Pau Víctor, there you have Marc Casado, etc., etc. So that means that Rafa has to change his team week after week after week after week. He cannot keep the core of players he would need
so
in normal conditions.
It's been challenging, and he's done really well with it.
Quite
you know what's interesting about this? Rafa Márquez was at Atlas as a young player, which at that time in Mexico was considered one of the best player development setups in all of Liga MX. So I would assume he's probably grabbed some things based on his upbringing there as well. But what type of coach do you see him as, Jordy? Is he an autocratic, tough guy? I mean, what kind of man manager is he? What are the characteristics you see of him as a manager, and do they resemble when he played?
Tactically, yeah, that's a good point. I wanted to talk about that. I don't know if you share this feeling among many people. Let's say, if you played as a central defender, you coach as a central defender, so you become a more defensive-minded coach. The thing is, Barcelona reserves try to play like the first team because that's the Barca DNA. And probably they're not so spectacular. They have, for example, two very strong Senegalese centre-backs. So it's not 100% Barca DNA approach, but they play well and they play a passing game and they try to play an attractive game. He's not like they say in England, he's not a gung-ho manager, 100% attacking-minded. He always tries to find a balance. He doesn't like to play, for example, if you take the midfield three, he doesn't like to play with three creative midfielders, three small players, as we say here, the likes of Xavi and Iniesta. Sometimes he has to play with them because he has got no other players at his disposal because he loses them because they have to go to the first team squad and whatever. He always tries to play with a defensive and more physical midfielder and two more attacking-minded midfielders. So he always tries to find the balance. But considering this, the team plays well. They score goals. They are an attack. I wouldn't compare him with Ernesto Valverde, but Valverde was a manager that liked to play attacking football, and you can see this with his Athletic Bilbao team. But his key word was balance. And I think, in my opinion, for Rafa Márquez, his motto and his keyword is also balance. In the dressing room, I think he's not exactly a tough guy. I mean, he can be. I think he's direct with the players, but he doesn't need to be exactly tough to be direct. I think he knows how to manage these young players. He's growing up at Atlas in Mexico, as you said. I think he has brought it at Barcelona because players are happy with him. I've spoken to players and they look happy and they are feeling they are learning with Rafa Márquez, and that's very important.
Jordy, we have limited time left. I just want 40 seconds on Robert Lewandowski. Has he lived up to it?
He was improving this season. He was improving. But when crucial games have come, he has again become the Lewandowski of the start of the season. Yesterday, for example, against Paris Saint-Germain, he had some clear chances. He missed them. I wouldn't say it's been his best season, unfortunately, for Barcelona.
And I don't think he held the ball very well when they had 10 men. You know, you needed him to kind of hold the ball for you. I didn't think he did a good enough job of that for a guy that's that talented.
He has been a little bit inconsistent because if you remember the first leg in Paris, he played extraordinary. He interpreted perfectly what Barcelona needed in that game. He was top-level Robert Lewandowski. And yesterday was the other way around. So this inconsistency has, thing he it 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 has given us not the best Lewandowski or the Lewandowski that fans expected at Barcelona.
Is he under a lot of pressure right now, like everyone?
Not exactly, because he's going to be 36. He was not in the need of winning again another Champions League title. He won a league title last season for Barcelona. That's okay for him. I don't think many people here saw Lewandowski as probably, I've heard that sometimes, a new Ronaldinho, the man that had to lead Barcelona again to great things. And I don't think he was seeing himself as the man that had to lead Barcelona to grandeur again. I think he was feeling he had to help, he had to give his experience, but not be the main man for Barcelona. And, that's what finally happened.
Jordy, as always, thank you so much. Super informative. We're going to keep an eye on the Rafa Márquez situation because there's a lot of people here, and obviously in Houston, the States, and Mexico that will be interested in what's going to happen after Xavi leaves. Thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Okay, thanks to you, Glenn, and of course, I'll keep you updated.
All right, he's the one and only, Jordy Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. We get it straight from him. Great stuff there in that interview.